Hello, this is Mike Harbath with another Shoot the Moon podcast in September 2020. This week we're going to talk about, you know, are we in an accelerating M&A market or a decelerating market? And what the impact it has on deal structures for IT services companies. And with that, we'll introduce my partner, Ryan Barnett. We're going to have a dialogue today about what we're seeing in the market. Ryan?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on today. It's been quite the year. So 2020 will go down as a year like no other, and we're certainly seeing it in how IT services companies are going to market in their acquisition strategies. And we represent both buyers and sellers throughout this process. Wanted to pick your brain today, Mike, on kind of what you've seen and where do you think it will go, and perhaps how the are we seeing an accelerating market or people hitting the brakes? So. Certainly going into March, seems like things were hitting the brakes, but where are we at right now?
Well, we're certainly seeing, in my opinion, a rapidly accelerating market, M&A market. We've seen more competitors for deals. We've seen deal multiples going up. We've seen shorter timelines to close on deals. We've seen fewer retrades on deals, and that occurs only in an accelerating market. We could argue an accelerating market is a seller's market. It's a market where people who are ready to sell will have more competition for their business. I think that is a fair statement. We're also seeing deal structures that are trending towards more cash or more guaranteed payment because the risk of an earnout to the buyer goes up. Essentially, the risk that they're going to pay up or overpay and an earnout, depending on the structure of that earnout, certainly goes up in an accelerating market. So I'd say all arrows are up and to the right at this point in the current market conditions.
Yeah, if you look at the global economy, we had a bit of contraction. Part of it, where we work at, maybe perhaps we're seeing things a little bit differently. Mike, maybe shed some light on what did IT service providers do that buoyed them kind of through March through today, and how did it become a seller's market? You would think that a buyer would have wanted to kind of pounce on companies that faltered. And what I'm hearing is that may not necessarily be the case. So what do you think, why is it a seller's market now?
Well, I certainly think that, COVID had as you mentioned, an immediate impact that caused our clients, project delays or cancel engagements. And a lot of people were concerned through Q2 in particular. Thankfully, many of our clients were able to participate in the PPP program, the first round, and that certainly helped them. And in most cases, replaced any reduction in revenue and, more importantly, profit realization through that period. But since about June 1st, we've certainly seen a fast rebound. Some companies have seen a rebound, it hasn't started for them and maybe as late as August 1st, but certainly through Q3, there's been a rebound to more demand than ever. A lot of those companies have shed some costs through Q2, which I think in the end has helped them enhance their profitability. So, their trajectory right now is very good. Demand is high by clients because of sort of distributed workforces and clients, their clients, our clients' clients, if you will, needing to implement and automate, process or further automate tools to automate the processes they have. The work that they could collaborate on in an office together, it's harder now. There's certainly more distributed players on the workforce. And because of the screen time, if you will, and virtual meetings and all the stuff that's going on, there's been a demand by the end user clients to further invest in technology to support that effort. I think IT services companies that are the conduit to vendors who have been growing and showing dramatic revenue and profit increases, as well as all the customization and implementation shops that they bring to the table, are in super high demand right now. And because of that, they've built healthy backlogs. They've tended to become a great source of fuel for the economy, for the overall economy. And I think, you know, certainly the future is bright. That makes a bit of a land grab scenario for buyers. It's made it difficult for buyers to come into the market because most firms are doing pretty well. And I think, you know, it's generally what we're seeing.
Yeah, we're not seeing the depressed prices that some companies may have been expecting. The relatively healthy balance sheets kept everyone afloat, and more projects coming in really did help. So if you see that, if this becomes a seller's market and deals are really accelerating, how should kind of corporate M&A or companies looking at doing M&A, how does that change their strategy, and what do they need to be doing differently to go after this market?
Well, that's a great question, you know, because I think what it means is that if you have a solid M&A strategy, that you should execute on it as soon as possible, because I don't think prices are going to go down anytime soon. I also think that you should get as much leverage against the purchase price as you can. And that typically would dictate paying more cash or all cash for a deal if you believe in the merits of the deal. Now, historically, earnouts or what we'll call contingent payments or payouts have been, you know, up to about 40% of any deal. I'd say in, you know, probably through 2020, it's been less. It's probably been closer to 30%. We know the trend for the last year or two has been towards more cash in deals versus earnouts or payouts. That trend has been in place for a while. But we're certainly talking with buyers now about structuring their deals with a lot more cash and guarantee. And the reason for that is typically in an accelerating market, if you buy a company and offer, you know, a substantial earnout or even any earnout for that matter, you're going to tend to overpay. And you get a hedge for risk, but you just have to understand that by using an earnout, you're going to put some pressure on your IRR because you're going to end up paying out more than you probably would if you used a more, you know, guaranteed type structure. Doesn't mean that it all has to be paid at close. certainly you could pay a portion at close and pay a portion in a seller note. But anytime you're looking at a variable sort of payout based on future performance in an accelerating market, you run the risk that you could overpay in that situation.
Yeah. Do you see buyers running into multiple bid situations or sellers considering multiple offers?
Yeah, we sure do. We see a lot of situations now where, you know, there's multiple bidders. There's folks that, you know, oftentimes there's three or more bidders at the table for a particular company. That's good for the seller in essence, and kind of bad for the buyers because, you know, they lose some control in that environment. It also tends to run valuations way up because, you know, buyers, who really want to, you know, transact a deal have to pay up. You usually see a period of time when that occurs, you know, followed by somewhat of a correction. So, you know, we do know that there will be a correction. It's just a matter of when. We don't have any foreseeable future to when that M&A correction will happen. I certainly, based on my view of the world right now, don't see that occurring in 2021. You know, could it happen in future years? I guess so. But, you know, that would assume that the relevance of the IT services community is going to go down and the customers are going to quit spending money with tech services companies to do all the stuff they do with tech services companies. And with more and more, you know, workloads moving to the cloud and more automation of process and related workloads, you know, the demand for everything in IT services, including cybersecurity and lift and shift and custom development and app development or app implementation, certainly we don't expect to be going down.
Sure. So what I'm hearing is that it might be tough to get a hold of some of these companies simply because they're doing so well, or they're getting multiple offers. I think that's one thing that when, on the origination side, companies really did take a tune to start working kind of in the business instead of on the business. And we're starting, I think, after Labor Day, it seemed to switch a little bit where kind of people came out from, I would say, worrying to into execution on their plans are finally in execution mode. Again, is there any advice that you could give maybe to a buyer on kind of cracking through, and what kind of did messaging or approach change in the last few months of perhaps a merger of equals compared to an acquisition? Has there been some mental changes of how we go to, how are we better together?
Well, I think it's tougher to get a hold of, you know, leaders of IT services companies on the buy side. I think what's challenging is, you know, it always was challenging to have those conversations about M&A or to target companies that weren't for sale for a conversation. I think that, you know, it probably bodes well for, you know, using an outside firm to assist you because, you know, it doesn't take a village to really find and begin to have a conversation with and attract and court a potential seller who is doing well in their business, who doesn't feel like they need or want to sell their business or even have time to have the conversation. Now, the best time if you're a seller to sell your business, of course, is when it's doing well. So, you know, there's a bit of a yin and yang there, but at the end of the day, you know, your ability as a buyer to actually have meaningful conversations is under pressure. And the best way to crack through that is to use an advisor with a mature origination group to find those deals.
Right. And it certainly is tricky. I think one of the most interesting things that we've seen in on the buy side for us has been companies who, it's first taking our call and kind of the immediate rejection of, hey, I'm not going to sell my company, but you know what? I'm actually really interested in buying other companies. So I think there is an interesting opportunity where finding the right seller in the market who's not for sale is a great challenge. And it's something that, to your point, Mike, you got to have someone along for the ride and really kind of driving that process as these deals aren't going to present themselves unless they're really going through a strategic process.
Yeah, and I, you know, and I like to remind, you know, IT services companies leaders when they're out there, when you're thinking about doing a deal, whether it's somebody who calls you out of the blue to buy your company, or whether you're looking to acquire a company, or you've thought about, you know, maybe putting your company on the market to sell, you know, the statistics are pretty daunting, for success if you want to roll your own. It's just reality. It only about 1% of the deals where a company doesn't have an outside advisor advising them on the, you know, complexities of M&A actually get done. So, you know, you don't want to necessarily enter into a very complex transaction that most people have either never done or done in a very limited way in the past on their own without, you know, a team around you to assist with that that's very mature and has helped out. And so I is it there to sort of help avoid the landmines? And because when you begin to utilize outside advisors, your stats for success go way up. And certainly, you know, well above 50% and in some cases above 90% versus 1%, I think are better odds to get some of this stuff done.
Sure. Just kind of looking at last couple of questions here, but have you seen anything different with multiples?
Yes, we're certainly seeing multiples go up. So, you know, I think the buyers that are somewhat living in the past, looking at historical multiples, are going to get left on the sides. We've seen deals trend towards more cash, and we've seen deals trend towards higher multiples. And that transition has occurred fairly recently, probably in the last, oh, I don't know, probably several weeks to a month. It's a very interesting trend on the transactions that we've been working on. And so certainly these multiples vary by sector. They're not the same. If you define IT services as, you know, managed services and sort of custom DevOps and application implementers as we do, there's even subsectors like cybersecurity and you know, MSSPs and the on the managed services side, or, you know, folks that are kind of hybrids of some of these models that are commanding, you know, much higher multiples just because of the trends in the market. So, you know, if we look at trend lines, they're certainly, again, pointing up and to the right for multiples. And I would expect that trend to certainly continue at a minimum through the end of the year and then probably well into next year.
Great. That makes sense. Well, that was my biggest question I had. Anything else you want to cover today, Mike?
No, I think that's it. I think it's going to be an interesting fall for all kinds of reasons. And certainly if you're in the M&A market and you need another opinion or you'd like some help, feel free to reach out to us. You can find us at revenuerocket.com or email at info@revenuerocket.com. And I think with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week in September 2020 on another Shoot the Moon podcast. Thanks a lot and have a great week.